This is Kristen Nicole Young, and you're listening to the Headbands and Hard Truth podcast. So you may live under a rock if you didn't see that the FDA recently approved the COVID vaccine from Pfizer. They just recently approved it on Monday, which was August 23rd. I think that was the 23rd. They just approved it on Monday. And so with the new approval, we are going to see a lot of more mandates requiring the vaccine to enter into public places, to go into private businesses. There are even talks, and I'm not really sure where this is at in the process. There are even talks about requiring vaccines for air travel. That will probably be more international, and I think that it'll probably roll over into domestic flights eventually. So that has even been a talk and a conversation already in the works. And so we're starting to see, especially with the FDA approval, now they have the go-ahead, that there are several businesses, several cities, several places that are starting to require their employees to be vaccinated or their customers to show proof of vaccination whenever they come in. And so what in the world do we do with all this? And I looked on, this is from NBC News, and here's just a list of some of the really big companies that are requiring vaccinations for their employees. They're mandating vaccination as a requirement for employment. It's Amtrak, Anthem, BlackRock, Cisco, Citigroup, CVS, Deloitte, Delta Airlines, Disney Cruise Lines, DoorDash, Equinox, Facebook, Ford, Goldman Sachs, Google, Jefferies, Lyft, MGM Resorts International, Microsoft, Morgan Stanley, NBC Universal, Netflix, The New York Times, Saks, like Saks Fifth Avenue, that company, Salesforce, TJ Maxx, Twitter, Tyson Foods, Uber, Union Square Hospitality Group, United Airlines, Viacom CBS, Walgreens, Walt Disney, Walmart, The Washington Post. So those are some really large, national, international companies that are requiring it. And that is not the end of the list. There are even several businesses here where I live in Arkansas, which is hard to believe that in Arkansas it's starting to trickle into. Usually it starts with the, the coast, and then it kind of trickles in, and not always does it come to the southern states. But yeah, so there are even places here in Arkansas and a local hospital here that's requiring proof of vaccination for their employees. Another large company that employs thousands, I would say, is starting to require proof of vaccination to go back onto campus because everyone has been working from home. And so you're starting to see a plethora of businesses starting to require this vaccination, this proof of vaccination mandatory for employment there. And so also not even just companies that are choosing to mandate this for their employees, but there are now starting to be businesses that are requiring proof of vaccination for their guests and their customers. And here's a couple of countries like Denmark, Greece, France, Italy, Canada. Those are some countries that are implementing vaccine passports. And then there's New Orleans, New York City, San Francisco, Philadelphia. I know Chicago School District has recently implemented a proof of vaccination for the teachers and employees. So those are some different places, some different locations that have started to require or will require proof of vaccination from its guests and customers. Also, Michael Bublé, James Taylor, Incubus, they have announced that they I don't know if it's their tour overall or if it's a certain location. I believe it's in Iowa that they are going to require proof of vaccination for those who are coming to the concert. Also, LSU, which I do not like LSU at all. I'm sorry if you love the Tigers. I am a diehard Razorback fan. I will be thoroughly disappointed if it comes to Arkansas. I'm sure it will. But just recently was released that LSU games are going to require for vaccinated fans or a negative COVID test. So again, the proof of vaccination or lack of having COVID. And then I could not believe this. I mean, I guess I can believe it because our world is kind of psycho right now. But so this is in Philadelphia, and this is quoted from, I believe it was ABC News. I think it was ABC News. This was quoted about Philadelphia and all of, there's a huge number of restaurants that are requiring vaccination for their guests. And this is a quote that says, "A growing number of Philly restaurants require people who are dining indoors to show proof of vaccination. Note, under the city's mandate, children under 12 who can't currently get vaccinated are not allowed to dine indoors, but they can take masked trips to the bathroom." Okay, that's a little bit ridiculous. That's honestly actually super ridiculous and absurd because children under 12 who cannot get vaccinated cannot even dine indoors. So if the parents choose to be vaccinated, but they don't want their child to be vaccinated, then they can't go eat in a restaurant because the kid cannot go inside and eat. Or it's like, mommy and daddy are going to go inside the restaurant, hun. Sorry, you have to sit outside because you're not vaccinated. How ridiculous is that? So ridiculous. But we just see where this is going, right? And it just was approved on Monday, and all of these places, all of these businesses that are starting to implement this. And so it's no secret that this will continue to pick up and snowball, if you will. And so, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer at all. I think that we'll find some more encouragement like as we go along through the podcast, but I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but in reality, things are going to get a little cray cray, right? Things are going to get a little crazy. And I think we're looking at some really difficult times ahead. And especially for those who choose not to get the vaccine, who believe the vaccine goes against their conscience, who, especially those who follow the Lord, if God has given a Holy Spirit conviction, if God has given a peace and has led to a decision that that you will not get the vaccine, that is not something that you need, then that I believe that we're going to see some difficult days, some difficult times ahead. And that's not fun to think about, and that's not fun to talk about. But I do believe that we're going to start seeing places like grocery stores, and, you know, concerts, and New York City has already implemented like gyms and restaurants. And like I said earlier, there may even be air travel. And so I think we're going to start to see a lot of really crazy things transpire over time. And so, like I said, that's not to be a Debbie Downer, but it is to be to be realistic, you know, to know, like, we have to know the times that we're living in. We have to know where we're at in our world. And also we have to know how to navigate through that. How do we respond as believers? How do we respond as American citizens? How do we walk into these days prepared and wise and ready to take a stand? And so, how do we go into these days? How do we handle these jobs that are requiring vaccination? How do we require these, or how do we respond to these restaurants requiring vaccinations? And do we cave and do we just do it so that we can keep our job, or so that we can go to a concert, or so that we can travel, or so that we can have all these quote unquote privileges that the government thinks that they are the ones who grant to us. But actually, according to the Constitution, they are God-given rights. But so, you know, going into these days, if you are a believer and you have come to terms with the fact and you have prayed about it and asked the Lord and sought wisdom and counsel, and you have come to the decision that receiving the vaccine goes against my conscience, it does not feel right, God has given me a conviction about it, I can't in good conscience, in good faith, get this vaccine, and then you proceed to receive the vaccine because your job is requiring it, or a restaurant is requiring it, or a concert or something that you want to do is requiring it. If you proceed and get the vaccine, Scripture says, not Scripture doesn't say if you get the vaccine, but Scripture says that you are sinning. In Romans 14, 23, it says, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So if you do not, if you believe that God has led you to a decision to not get this vaccine, like, and for our family, that this is a hill that we will die on. And that's not the case for everybody. And everybody has to answer to God one day, right? Like everyone is responsible for seeking the Lord and asking for His wisdom. And there may be some people who come up with different conclusions and different decisions for their family. But for our family, this is a hill we will die on. I will go to the grave fighting not getting this vaccine. And you can call me what you want. I don't really care because I answer to God and not other people. But so if we go into these days and we are like, I don't want to lose my job, so I guess I'll just go ahead and get it because I have no other option, then we are sinning. That is sin. And R.C. Sproul says it so wonderfully. He spells it out so great. And I'm going to read this quote. It's kind of lengthy from him, but it is so good. It talks about basically going against our conscience, or if you are a believer, like our Holy Spirit conviction, that feeling in our spirit that he puts in there. So R.C. Sproul says, if the conscience can be misinformed or distorted, why should we not act against it? Should we follow our consciences into sin? Here we have a dilemma of the double jeopardy sort. If we follow our consciences into sin, we are guilty of sin inasmuch as we are required to have our consciences rightly informed by the Word of God. However, if we act against our consciences, we are also guilty of sin. The sin may not be located in what we do, but rather in the fact that we commit an act we believe to be evil. Here the biblical principle of Romans 14:23 comes into play. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. For example, if a person is taught and comes to believe that wearing lipstick is a sin and then wears lipstick, that person is sinning. The sin resides not in the lipstick, but in the intent to act against what one believes to be the command of God. The dilemma of double jeopardy demands that we diligently strive to bring our consciences into harmony with the mind of Christ, lest a carnal conscience lead us into disobedience. We require a redeemed conscience, a conscience of the spirit rather than the flesh. The manipulation of conscience can be a destructive force within the Christian community. I want to stop right there because we have seen this so much lately. The manipulation of conscience within the Christian community. Things like, you know, when you see, oh, well, you're not loving your neighbor if you don't wear a mask. You're not loving your neighbor if you don't get a vaccine. You are harming other people. You're not protecting other people if you don't do X, Y, and Z. And I would go as far enough to say that that is a manipulation of conscience, because for someone like me and so many other people that I know who I have talked with who firmly believe that they do not need to wear a mask in most settings, right? Like the generalization in most settings, or they will not get the vaccine, for other believers to try to pressure that and push that and say, well, you're not really loving your neighbor. You're not really acting like Christ, is a manipulation of conscience. And they are called, I would even go to as far as say also to say that they are they could be potentially causing others to sin if they are trying to encourage going against conscience. And then R.C. Sproul continues on. He says, "Legalists are often masters of guilt manipulation, while antinomians master the art of quiet denial. The conscience is a delicate instrument that must be respected. One who seeks to influence the consciences of others carries a heavy responsibility to maintain the integrity of the other person's own personality as crafted by God. When we impose false guilt on others, we paralyze our neighbors, binding them in chains where God has left them free. When we urge false innocence, we contribute to their delinquency, exposing them to the judgment of God." I love the way that he spells all of that out, talking about how if we go against our conscience, if we go against what we believe to be what God is telling us, then we are sinning. It's not the act in and of itself. Like you said, it's not the lipstick in and of itself. It is the fact that I believe wearing lipstick is wrong, and I'm going to choose to go against that and wear it anyway. So we see right here that if you believe that getting the vaccine is wrong, or if you have doubts in your spirit, maybe you haven't totally formulated or had a clear answer from the Lord yet on exactly why you don't want to get it, but you still have this red flag or this doubt or this reservation to getting it, and you believe that that is not something that you want to get or that you should get, and then you proceed to do it, it is sin. And I want to consider the people of Israel for a moment, where God literally intervened, sent the plagues. He literally intervened to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh, where they were enslaved. And I love this story so much. And although the circumstances are different or wildly different, the principle and the lesson that we can learn from this is very applicable to what we are going to be walking through. I love that it talks about how God led them out a certain way, not the way that was near, not the way that was necessarily easy. He led them through the wilderness to the Red Sea, to where they were essentially trapped between the wilderness from where they came from and the Red Sea. So God intentionally led them to a difficult situation where they could not be their own savior. And so I want to read in scripture, and it says Exodus 13, starting in verse 17, it says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from there.' And they moved on from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." So here we see the Israelites are exiting Egypt. Pharaoh has finally let them go after the 10 plagues, after the most recent plague, which we celebrate Passover to remember the passing over of the families who had the blood of the lamb on their doorposts when God brought the 10th plague, and it was to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. And of those who did not have the blood on their doorpost. So we see God is bringing them out of Egypt. They start coming out through the wilderness, and now they're going toward the Red Sea. And it shows that God was leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they knew exactly where God was leading them. They were listening. They were watching the presence of God. They were not going anywhere that God did not lead them. They were following exactly in the quote-unquote footsteps. I guess a pillar doesn't really leave footsteps, but they were following in the footsteps of where God was leading them. And that's where he led them. He led them to a very difficult spot. And so this is in chapter 14, and the beginning of 14 talks about where they camped and where they ended up being. And this is in verse 10, and it says, "When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.' And Moses said to the people, 'Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.'" And then it just goes on, and I really want to read it, but it's a little bit longer. But it just goes on and tells the story of how God tells Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground." And God goes on and talks about how he will harden the hearts of Pharaoh, and that it says that all the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then it goes on to where Moses stretches out his hand across the sea and they walk on dry ground. But I want to touch on a couple of things in here, because the part where the Israelites say, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt? We would rather be enslaved than die in the wilderness." And if you think about that, it sounds so silly at first to think about. Like, why would you rather be in slavery than be delivered from the hand of God? But we know the end of the story. And so it's easier for us to look at them and say, "Oh, you fools, y'all are so silly." When we can't see the end of the story, it's a lot harder to trust, because in Egypt, it was, I don't want to say it was comfortable, because I'm sure slavery was not comfortable for them, but it was familiar. They were familiar there. They were at least fed, and I'm sure that they weren't really taken care of that much, but they were at least provided for in a sense. And so here they're saying, like, they don't see a way out. They literally are looking at this Red Sea and this wilderness with this Pharaoh Egyptian army coming after them. And they're saying, "We would rather go back to Egypt and be enslaved than to die out here." And then Moses responds and he says, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." And so to translate it to where we are now, and this is not, like I said, this is not really close to the same circumstances, but we are staring down the barrel of hard days to come. And if we have read Revelation, which all believers should understand Revelation and eschatology, even though it's a really difficult subject to understand, we should understand that the days are going to be hard. That for believers, they are going to be hard. And even for non-believers who do not want to get the vaccine, who choose not to get the vaccine, the days are going to be hard. They are going to intentionally make it difficult for those who are not vaccinated because they want everyone to be vaccinated, which I'm like, why? That just go away and just let us make our own decisions. But that's besides the point. But so here we see we're walking into this, and there are some that are in their jobs and their boss has now recently sent an email or made a press release or has required proof of vaccination to be able to work at your place of employment. And or you are you want to go to your gym or you want to go to these restaurants and they're requiring proof of vaccination. And now you're in this place of, okay, well, I may lose my job if I don't comply with what they are saying. Like I may be out of work. I don't really know where my next paycheck will come from. I don't, you know, and then you want to go forward from there is I don't really know where my next meal would come from. I don't really know where, and it's this whole thing of like, I don't really know what's going to happen. And I love where Moses says, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. And like I said earlier, we don't know the end of the story, but we know the character of God, that he loves and protects and hears the cry of those who love him and fear him and obey him. God is not going to call us to obey him and then just leave us stranded. It does not mean that we're going to have it easy, because if you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, they were literally thrown into a furnace, right? So they were like within an inch of death. Yet God swooped in and rescued them, and he got glory in that situation. And so for us to sit back and consider, we are looking at hard days ahead. If you want to say, we are looking at a Red Sea of, I don't really know a way forward. I don't really know what's going to happen next. All I see is the Egyptian army behind me coming up against me, and I don't really know what's going to happen. And so for us to say, it would be better for us to be enslaved by the Egyptians would be equivalent to say it would be easier and more familiar and more comfortable if I just went ahead and got the vaccine, because I would rather do that and continue in comfort than to be in the unknown and trust the Lord but not really know what's going to happen or how it's going to play out. And so we, as believers, we have got to stand firm. Like, we have got to stand firm. These are going to be scary days. I don't know what they're going to look like. I don't know what all is coming, but I know that they're probably going to be hard. And so we have to, in scary times where we can feel the human emotion of fear, I struggle with fear and anxiety quite a bit, but is coming to the Lord and is saying, God, I want to not fear. I want to stand firm and I want to trust you and know that you are going to protect me and deliver me, even though it may not look like exactly how I think it's going to look. And so as believers, and even as those who are not believers but don't want to get the vaccine, we have got to stand firm. Because if you think about it, businesses have to have employees, right? They rely on employees. Businesses rely on customers. Businesses rely on having guests come and buy from them. And so if we can collectively stand and say, we are not going to do that, you can fire me. That can put them in a tough position, because then they can lose customers and business and employees. And then that puts them in a tough position. And it's a pushback of, we're not going to stand for this because this goes against what we believe God has said for us to do. We believe that this goes against our conscience and we cannot stand for this. And whenever there's a collective movement of, okay, you can fire me, or okay, I'm just not going to eat at your restaurant because I don't really need to eat there anyways, that puts them in a position of, do we really want to enforce these mandates? Do we really want to enforce this proof of vaccination? It can implement change. And we don't know what these days are going to look like, but we do know the character of the Lord. We do know that we can trust the Lord. We do know that he will provide and deliver. And maybe you lose your job, but maybe God provides something different and something else. And he always provides. When we obey him, God does not leave us stranded. He always provides for us. He always makes a way, even when it does not happen the way that we want it to, in the timing that we want it to. And it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be smooth. And so we cannot choose the easy way out just because we are so concerned about our comfort. If this continues, you will lose privileges, quote unquote. They're not theirs to take. Those are not theirs to take away from you, honestly. But we will lose, quote unquote, privileges. We may lose flying privileges. Like, I've almost come to terms with the fact that I may never fly on an airplane again. And we may lose jobs. And those are really hard things. Those are really difficult and scary things to think about. But we cannot go against conscience, go against what God has said just because Egypt looks more familiar. Egypt looks more promising. We don't want to sacrifice and disobey what God has put in our spirits, what God has led us to do or led us to believe because we are too concerned about our comfort or too worried about what's going to happen. And so so as believers going into these days, we've got to stand firm. We have cannot cave to this. If you believe and you are so, you have doubts about this and you're so convinced like this is not something I want to get, do not cave. Do not be pressured into this. So some practical steps that we can take as believers and like I said, and non-believers who do not want to get the vaccine is the first thing is just start slowly stocking up on shelf-stable goods. Like every time you go to the store, if you're still able to, every time you go to the store, just get extra bags of rice, a couple of extra bags of beans, maybe some canned goods. You can order some garden seeds online. I highly recommend getting a big pack of garden seeds, you know, just a variety of things that you can get. But anytime you go to the store, just get a couple of extra things. There's no need for us to freak out because we understand that God is provider, but He also has given us wisdom and minds and the ability to prepare. And so I think there's a really important element to preparation. And if we know what's coming, then we should be wise and prepare as best as we can. And so the next time you're at the store, just grab a couple extra canned goods, couple extra cans of soup, couple extra bags of rice, couple extra bags of dried beans, whatever it is, you know, stock up on a few things. That way, if something crazy happens or you're not able to shop at a grocery store or whatever, you have food that you can eat at least for a little bit. What our family does is we order online. It's called Azure Standard. It's A-Z-U-R-E, standard.com, Azure Standard. And they have tons of bulk options you can order, and they have tons of organic options too. So that's why I really love it. It's like health conscious bulk foods. And so like we'll order a big thing of peanut butter or like a 25 pound bag of rice or a big bag of beans or garbanzo beans, flour, things like that. And so we'll just order a couple of those things with our regular order. We'll just order some extra stuff each time. And so now we just like stick it in a closet and now we have like a giant bag of rice that we don't need right now, but we may need later. And so I don't care. You can call me a prepper. I do not care. But it is important if we know that we're not going to comply with these new standards and regulations and how the world is going, that we prepare for it. And I would say the second thing is just stay in close community. Stay in close proximity to people around you. When we isolate, that's where fear can creep in even more. That's where the enemy can just get a hold of us, get a hold of our minds. And stay in close community with those that are like-minded too. It's very important that we have, you know, that we don't only cling to those who think the same way. However, that is vital. It's very vital. It talks about in Acts how they had all things in common and they were sharing and selling their possessions and giving to the poor. And there's a commonality there. And it's empowering to be around and to talk with people who are like-minded, to realize that you're not alone, everyone wants to make you think that you're alone, but you're not alone. There's actually a very large population of people who I believe will push back against this. So stay in community, stay close, do not isolate, especially stay in close community with those who are like-minded with, build a little group of like, you know, you stock up on rice or you stock up on beans, you know, you can work together. And the next thing is stay plugged into the Word. Now, these are not in order of importance because obviously this would be the number one important thing. But stay plugged into the Word and stay plugged into prayer with the Lord, because we cannot go into these days or into any day, regardless of what is going on, without the Lord. We have to be plugged into the source of strength, the source of peace, the source of truth, the source of discernment. We have to stay plugged into that, because if we're not, it is so easy for the enemy to come in and distract us, to deceive us, to mislead us, to instill fear. So we have got to stay plugged into the Word. Stay plugged into the Word. And then the one other thing would be, if your job is requiring a religious, if your job is requiring the vaccine for you to work there, don't get it. If you are like against getting the vaccine, don't get it, and don't quit. And unless this is, I don't know your circumstance, right? So if it is a better circumstance for you to quit, then obviously you should do that. So this is not me telling you how to like live your life, because I don't know your situation, but in general, as a whole, make them fire you. But you can submit a religious exemption. So I'd say that should be the first step that you do if your job is requiring it, unless you cannot submit a medical exemption. So you could submit a medical exemption. If that does not work, you could submit a religious exemption. And I know that there are tons of pastors who are writing religious exemptions. I don't think there's like an official form or anything that you can download to have them fill out. But if you could just ask your pastor to, hey, can you write a religious exemption letter for me. I know that there are several that are kind of circulating on the internet. You should search on DuckDuckGo. Never search on Google. You can try to look up and see if there are any like templates that could help your pastor write that. So submit a religious exemption, and if your business still does not honor that, then make them fire you. And you know, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that businesses have to have employees. And if they're firing everybody they're firing a vast majority of people because they will not comply, then that makes the business look at their decision of like, should we really do this? Because then they're going to have to hire people who may have, they're going to have a lesser pool of people to hire if they just start letting a whole bunch of employees go. So anyway, hey, I know that these days are wild. I feel like I just watch the world every single day with my jaw dropped of like, is this real life? Like, is this actually America? But hang in there. You are not alone. There is a huge population of people who are not for this vaccine, who will not get this vaccine. Stand firm, stay strong, fear not, see the salvation of the Lord. Obey him over man. You have a higher allegiance than to the government. Right? We are to live peaceably with all. We are to submit to the government as best to our ability, as far as we can. And then whenever the government chooses or businesses choose to go against what we believe is obedience to God, that's when we disobey. And we don't just go out and try to cause all ruckus and we like look for a fight. You know, we do it respectfully and without sin. But we have a higher allegiance, and it is to God, not the government overall. God is our highest authority. God is our highest one that we answer to. And so, it says in his word over and over and over and over again that God hears those who love him and fear him. God works all things out for those who love him and fear him, not easily, not always the way that you think that it's going to be. But he works those things out for his glory, right? It's for his glory and the strengthening and testing of our faith. So hang in there, stand firm, you're not alone. And that wraps up our podcast episode today. I would love if you would subscribe and share. That would help so much. Share with your friends. And you can also share on social media too. My Instagram is Kristen Nicole Young. You can find me on there. And I am just so appreciative for you listening today. And I hope you have an awesome rest of your Thursday.